You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. He is the principal at Winskill Elementary School in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Principal Brad Sturmer is here. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning to you guys. Glad to be here.
Happy to have you here. Really looking forward to talk about this. I found this in WPR from Corrine Hess, and the headline says, "This Wisconsin school excels at teaching math. Can its approach work statewide?" So my co-host Greg Bach and I are both mathematically challenged, which is why we do what we do. And I'm really fascinated by this. What is it that you are doing differently at your school that is helping change these numbers?
Well, there's definitely a lot to it. But, you know, it all starts with the people. We have great people in place here at Winskill, and teaching staff, support staff. You know, whenever I talk about things like this and, you know, how do you have the successes you do, I talk about people's structures and systems. But it's definitely people first. You really got to build a strong culture. I started here 7 years ago as elementary principal, and that was the focus year one, because we had a strong team in place, but culture and climate really needed to improve. So that's kind of where I start with that conversation, Jane, is, you know, people first, culture first, and that's got to always be the focus.
Brad, what is your background personally?
I was a high school math teacher for 15 years. Just growing up, I loved math, and it was a math major in college, and decided to teach because I wanted to help others with, you know, with my math skills. So 15 years in that. The last three, I also did some administrative work as an assistant principal, and then the elementary job came open in my district, and it's kind of felt like what I was called to do, and so now I'm here, and I love it.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Thank you for doing that. And I think teachers are heroes. I could not do your job even for one day without losing my mind. So I have so much respect for teachers. Is it, I always thought, Brad, and hopefully I'm wrong, that there are just some people who get math and others who don't. Or is it really about the way that it is presented to people that's more of an issue?
Definitely the latter, you know, how it's taught to kids, because all kids can learn math and how to do it. It's, you know, unfortunately, the way that, you know, a lot of us were taught math, probably you guys, myself included, it just isn't the way that it should be done. There's, you really got to focus on the why behind mathematics, and building the foundational knowledge at these early ages is absolutely critical. I mean, sometimes people overlook the importance of the early ages in education for some reason. But yeah, the reality is, if kids don't, if they're not at grade level by the end of third grade with regards to mathematics at grade level or higher, they're very, very likely to always struggle with math. And therefore, what ends up happening is, if kids struggle at math, you know, and then you're getting taught fourth grade, fifth grade, the subject that's very challenging for you, you're going to end up basically hating it at some point.
You feel like a failure. You feel like you're, yeah. At least I did. It's like, there's something wrong with me that I don't get this and everybody else gets it.
Yeah. And that's unfortunate, because that's just not the case. And, you know, along with that, what comes with that too, the I hate math, I can't do math, a lot of times behaviors will come up too, you know, because, and just think of us as adults. Like, if, if somebody's asking us to do something that's really hard for us and we can't do it, and it's every day, right? Every day, you know, we need to do this. You need to do this. Like, it's hard. I can't do this. Well, eventually, you know, kids are going to have behavior problems.
Act
they
want to
get out
bit.
Of class,
yeah.
or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So,
well, yes. Thank you for making me show up every day so I can fail is essentially what it feels like. Right. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, can we blame kids for that? I mean, as think of us as adults, what would you do if you were asked to do something really, really hard every day? And then you start feeling, you know, like you're just not like you guys were saying, like
you're not good enough.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with me? So we really need to put the ownership on ourselves as educators and leaders in education, that it's our job to make sure that we do our job very, very well, especially at an early age.
So something that I've heard people speak about, and I don't have children, so I've never had an experience with it, but is quote unquote the new math, which I think has been around for a long time anyway. So it's not so much new. It's just a different way of doing math. In what you have created and being a math major, a person who enjoys math, what was the process of changing this program for you? Was it something you brought from your teachings, or did you sit down with teachers and say, hey, let's put together a program that will enrich all, will raise test scores, and will benefit all? What is the history behind how you changed your approach to teaching math at your school?
Well, I think you create a sense of urgency. You know, when you look at data and you see that 40% of your kids are proficient, or advanced in math, like that's not good enough. And you start throwing things at your teachers who really, really love their kids. And if you tell them that, which again, this is the truth, if kids are behind mathematically after third grade, they're always going to struggle at it. And then you might be closing doors for kids. So like if you have a third grader who wants to be a vet tech someday, but they need to go to college for that. And I talked to my staff about they got to take algebra 2. A lot of colleges need you to pass algebra 2. Well, that's a really hard class, and especially if kids struggled at math through all the way up to that point.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So you create that sense of urgency, like this is really, really important. And then this is how it's done. You know, like this is how we need to teach math. And there's good resources out there. We happen to have a good one in place. When I got here. So then it's just a matter of doing it to fidelity. And when I say fidelity, I'm careful of that because sometimes people think that means you do everything the textbook tells you, which is just not true. It just means you do it the right way all throughout the school and every grade and every class. And that's where it comes down to the structures and systems that I mentioned to you before. And I can get into some detail with that, but I'll see where you guys kind of want to take that.
No, sure. Yeah. I'd love to know the detail because I think there might be teachers, principals, parents, and kids who might be listening who want to know how to maybe implement new techniques, best practices, things like that. So please give us some details. We'd love to hear.
If you're just joining us, Brad Sturmer is our guest. He's the principal at Windskill Elementary School in Lancaster, Wisconsin, and they're having success with the way they are teaching math and improving math scores. And also we're going to talk about your literacy program in just a little bit. But yes, Brad, if you wouldn't mind going into a few more specifics about how this works, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I'll start with a quick reminder. It's people first, culture first, always. Mm-hmm. It's got to be the forefront of every conversation that anybody listens to this. Because without strong people, without a strong culture, none of the structures and systems I'm going to talk about work. One of the key structures is your schedule, right? You gotta have 90 minutes of math at every grade level. And there's a lot of schools that don't have that. I mean, our school, when I first got here, I kind of did an audit of the schedule and how much time you're putting towards math. And I mean, some grade levels are doing 45 minutes a day, which is just unacceptable. It's got to be 90 minutes. You got to put at least 60 in there for core, just like what you're delivering to all students. And then 30 minutes of some time that you can use to enrich your kids, the kids that need to be pushed in math. And sometimes that people lose focus on that, but there's a lot of kids that get bored with math because they learn it rather quickly, or they already know it. So that 30 minutes, you got to have time to enrich those kids, but also time for some interventions to for the kids that it's a little bit more of a struggle for, and you got to give them a little double dose of what you're doing. So that's an easy structure to fix. You got to have 90 minutes. And then one big thing we did here at Windskill was we departmentalized. And what I mean by that, so at fourth and fifth grade, we have three sections, and, you know, right in the first year, I made a schedule where we have one teacher that teaches math all day, and then one teacher that teaches literacy, and one teacher that teaches social studies science. So our math teacher will teach all three homerooms in a 60-minute block. And then later, and I'll share my schedule with anybody who wants it, anybody that's asked. So without getting into a lot of detail there, because, you know, there's more to it, but just that departmentalization is big, because then your teachers can become experts in that field. And they become, you put people that are passionate about math in those positions, and they can, all their professional development and all the books that they read over the summer, and you know, everything that they, because teachers love their kids and they have a lot of passion for what they do. And if you put that passion towards one subject, that can be really beneficial. And it worked so well in those two grades the first couple of years we did it, that we ended up moving it to third grade. We have a little bit different format for that, but still it's one teacher teaches math all day. We have third grade math teacher. And then it worked so well that we moved it down to second grade. This past year, we departmentalized in second grade, and the teachers loved it. Kids thrived. My daughter was in that grade. It was fantastic in second grade. So that's been two big pieces there.
Well, that makes so much sense, Brad, to allow teachers to specialize in an area that they're really good at, because I think our teachers are asked to do so much and to be so many things to our kids. They're counselors and they're peacemakers and they're, you know, and then educator seems to be tagged on the back. So it's nice that they're able to concentrate their efforts in an area where they excel.
Right. And, you know, the reality is, in elementary education, there's a lot of teachers that got into teaching for great reasons. They love kids. They want to help kids. But there's not a lot of kids that get it, or teachers, sorry, that get into education at the elementary level because they love math. Like, they're passionate mm-hmm. about math. So you for people like me that love math, went to college, got a math degree, teach, a lot of those people teach high school math.
Right.
Typically, right. High school, middle school math. But we can change that. We can change where schools are build passionate math teachers at the elementary level, and departmentalization is one way that you can do it, so they can have that focus, because those are a couple of the structures. But then, you know, just the how you teach math is really important. You know, the tricks, the math tricks, you got to throw out the window. You know, like something as simple as solving for proportion, you cross multiply and divide, like that's the way you're taught, but why does that work? And yeah. And when you're doing two digit addition, and, you know, 5 + 8, you know, 3, you carry the 1, like all of those things, you can't talk about math that way. And that's the way a lot of us were taught.
Absolutely.
Right? So we have to teach it differently. And it really boils down to the why behind mathematics. Why does this work?
We're going to continue our conversation with Principal Brad Sturmer, principal at Windskill Elementary in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855 752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is Brad Sturmer, principal of Windskill Elementary School in Lancaster. Nearly 80% of the students at Windskill either advanced or meeting expectations in math, according to the latest report card from DPI. So we were talking to Principal Sturmer about that and their successes. One of the things you had alluded to before we went to the break, Brad, was just about how the importance of math, and Greg and I were talking about this off the air during the break, math is in everything. I mean, if you want to go into astronomy, if you want to go into science, if you want to go into the trades, if you want to be a musician, math is, as much as people like me might want to avoid it, math is everywhere.
It sure is, that's for sure. So, yeah, but I would totally agree with you on that.
One of the things also, sir, you wanted to talk to us about when you when we were going back and forth on getting you on the show was you also have a literacy program in your school that you wanted to discuss. Can you tell us more about that as well?
Yeah, you know, it's in the Act 20, something that came out a couple summers ago, and there's a lot of good behind it. There's some things that maybe are a little flawed with it, too, but there's a lot of focus on literacy right now in elementary education, and as there should be. But just saying that, and you know, you guys maybe saw a little or heard a little bit of my math passion come out. I could sit and talk about mathematics all day long. Mm-hmm. But anybody that wants to, you know, when you talk about how we teach math, they got to talk to my teachers here. They're just phenomenal. We have a great staff, just an NA team, an all-star team. It's amazing what these my teachers can do in this building. But, you know, with all the focus on literacy, which there needs to be, there does need to be a focus on mathematics still. So, like, we got to keep that in mind. But yeah, with regards to literacy, we made some big changes with how we do things here. Right after, it was about 2020. And it all boils down to really having our teachers get dig in deep to the science of reading and really learn how kids learn how to read. And what was fascinating about it was when I came down to the elementary level, I didn't have a clue how kids learned how to read. Not a clue. And obviously I needed to learn fast because I'm an elementary principal and a leader. Well, I was fortunate enough to have some people in my building. My brother-in-law was actually one of them. His name's Jim Addison. And he's a literacy savant, really. But he pointed me towards, we need to dig into the science of reading, Brad. And I did first. And strange, I got quarantined and I just had some time and I dug deep and I was like, holy cow, this is fascinating and makes a ton of logical sense. And just my math brain I just think very logically.
Sure.
My brain works. And I was like, wow, this makes sense. And then my team, we dug into it together, and then we did 2 years of professional development with letters, and it's a resource teaching about the science of reading, which unfortunately a lot of universities now they're kind of forced to with Act 20, but they weren't teaching. There's a kind of a little debate with this, but they weren't teaching the science of reading to teachers that were going to teach kids to learn how to read. So anyway, long story short, our teachers bought in, dug in, learned how to do it, you know, embedded in the science of reading, and we're seeing a lot of positive gains.
I'm curious as well, and I don't know that you have that there's anything quantifiable about this, but do you believe that it makes a difference if parents read to their kids when they're very small? Does that matter?
If they're what? I'm sorry, something cut out.
If parents read to their children when they're very small before they even get into school, do you think that matters?
100%. Yeah, just there's so much that goes into those preschool, you know, birth to school that we can, as parents, can help our kids with learning how to read. And yes, reading to them is one of them, but just exposing them to a lot of vocabulary and background knowledge is huge with learning how to read, you know. And it's kids on phones is just, yeah, it's really been detrimental for a lot of things. speech is, you know, numbers are going through the roof. So just like exposing your kids to rich, you know, just things so they build that background knowledge and vocabulary. Those are definitely backbones to learning how to read.
Well, and I just think for me, I have very fond memories of being very, very small and sitting on my dad's lap while he read to me. But I think it is those kinds of emotions, and that gave me an affection for reading because of that bonding I had with my dad. So I think sometimes if you can instill that in your kids, that will give them an affection for it then.
Absolutely. Just seeing your parents enjoy reading. And that goes, I'll go back to the math side of things. How many times parents will tell their kids, I hate math. I was no good at math. Like, oh, don't say that.
My mom used to say, you got your love for math from me, and we both hate math. I don't hate math. I love math. It's just unfortunate I can't wrap my brain around certain concepts because of the teaching thing. But
you need to develop a remedial course for adults at Windskill Elementary for math, Brad, for the mathematically challenged adults in the world.
We could do that. You catch on really quick.
He is the principal of Windskill Elementary in Lancaster, Wisconsin. Brad Sturmer has been our guest. It's been so interesting. Principal Sturmer, thank you so very much for joining us.
Yeah, no problem. I enjoyed hanging out with you guys today, and I love talking math. Anybody that wants to reach out to me, I've had some people do that via email or whatever. I'm happy to help, because if I can help even one teacher out there, or one leader out there, then it eventually helps kids, which is why we're all in this business. So
thank you so much. We'll include a link in our show notes to Windskill Elementary. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thanks again to Kathleen from River Falls. Mm-hmm. We were talking to her right before we went to the bottom of the hour news. We were talking about the protests that are scheduled for this Saturday pretty much across the country.
Yeah.
And we will have links in our show notes.
Yep, there will. Yeah.
Kathleen provided with some links. If you are going to be attending some of these protests on Saturday, how to keep yourself safe.
Yeah, there will be the link to the actual website, and then there'll be the link to the rundown of what you need to do to protect yourself and others. So thank you very much, Kathleen, for
appreciate
giving that
to
us.
And make sure you check out Todd Alba later on today. His show from 2 to 4 p.m. across the network. He will go over the day's headlines in the 2 o'clock hour at 3 p.m. Todd Alba will have a pizza edition of What's Worse. Such a good segment.
No,
bad pizza.
There's no bad pizza. There's an old saying, even the worst pizza is great pizza.
It's good pizza. You'll have to check it out.
Oh.
And then at 3:30 on the Todd Alba Show, they'll talk to Brian Van Hooker from Cracked.com mm-hmm. to talk about Muppets and Rodney Dangerfield jokes. I'll be listening. You should listen to Todd Alva today from 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. That song that we played, that Calvin played as we were coming in, is from Sly and the Family Stone. Mm-hmm. Sly Stone passed away yesterday at the age of 82.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was still alive.
I knew he was alive. Well, I had no idea recently, but like years ago, I was like, well, he probably died in the 70s because no one interviewed him. I didn't know he was a recluse.
Yeah, he did become a recluse.
Yeah.
And, but very, very instrumental in the R&B soul sound,
mm-hmm.
In the early, you know, late 60s, early 70s. So that got us talking about songs we like to just kick back to.
Yes.
Kick back and relax.
Yes.
Like Everyday People from Sly and the Family Stone. So what is your kickback song? 855-752-4842. What do you like to listen to sitting in the backyard? You're in the hammock, perhaps a little cocktail. Dog on the right on the ground next to you.
I miss my dog right now.
What is your kickback song as we remember Sly Stone? 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mike in Green Bay. Calvin, do we have that for Mike?
I don't think it loaded up correctly.
It did not load.
Unfortunately, no.
We're working on it.
We're working on that. So.
Listening on WGBW. Mike, we're trying to get that one for you. Quentin, where's your treasure?
I have never, ever heard that song. But I just, you know, for me, there's two kinds of kickback. There's the kickback at the house, like you were describing. But then there is a kickback song of, like, driving home after, especially, like, a loud, like, we've both been to, like, events, concerts, or work events where there's a lot of people, there's a bar, and then you're
it's
like
noisy.
I either need to drive home and make a complete silence, which I've done before, or you play a song that's just so relaxing and just gets you breathing and allows you to.
So, like, what do you listen to when you're on the way home from the club?
Oh, when I'm on the way home from the club, so there's a band called 07 that I like. It's an English. It's two producers and a bunch of. And there's a singer named Sia who's very popular now, and she collaborated with them. And I was looking through their catalog and trying to pick a song. And I'm gonna have Calvin just pull one up because it's just the best driving home, especially at night music.
Ooh,
but yeah,
I'm intrigued,
and I just love it very much. I love a good, especially in summertime.
Windows open. Nice warm night.
Driving, when I used to live in Milwaukee, driving into the city, you have like this real lo-fi music, a slow beat, and you feel like you're in a movie. You're like, there you go. Just driving to this. It's just so wonderful.
It's so chill.
Exactly. That's kickback
it's
music.
It's really chilling.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my kickback can't be like can't be everyday people.
Oh, that would be mine.
Because I won't relax. Kickback for me means I have to let my body relax, let it breathe.
Take a breath,
and just taking my moment.
What is your kickback song? 855-752-4842. Casper in Madison, Feels So Good by Chuck Mangione.
Please, Calvin, get that song.
That is a great song.
That song
so is much. Chuck Mangione in general is kickback.
I do not enjoy when people make fun of Chuck Mangione.
There are people who make fun of Chuck Mangione.
Because he's a guy who got famous on playing the flugelhorn. Was it the flugelhorn?
I think you're right.
Yeah. And so
he made flugelhorn sexy.
Yeah, he did.
Which they need. It needed.
It needed a refresh. Yes. Oh, yeah. If you were alive in the 80s and the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
This song was everywhere.
This is a good song.
So, this song is playing in the background, Jane. You obviously have a different idea of what a kickback song is. So what for you is a kickback song?
Kickback.
There it is.
Oh, here it is. Yeah.
There's a sale on pants in aisle 7.
No, I'm on my patio.
Ah.
And I'm having a drink.
Fourth floor menswear.
Watching for my hummingbird. What is your kickback song? 855-752-4842. See, I don't ballad very much.
Ah, so your kickback song is a little more rockin'?
It would be a little more feisty.
Yeah, like, I imagine you kicking back to, like, Boston.
Oh, I'm kicking back to, like, the Pointer Sisters.
Oh, are you so excited that you just can't hide it?
I am.
It looks like you're about to lose control, and Jane, I think you like it.
I see what you did there.
That's interesting, though, is our versions of what a kickback song is. Because to me, that song, by like just Pointer Sisters,
right,
or non-ballady, is what I'm listening to on the way to the thing.
On the way to the party.
To get myself up. Like, just there's a song by LCD Sound System. It's called Daft Punk Is Playing in My House that I listen to before I do comedy shows because it's just like, it just gets you
going. It's up, yeah, it's up, and it's driving.
Exactly. That's so interesting. Okay, so folks, are your kickback songs a relaxing ballad? Is it something to pump you up and get you ready? Or be done. I mean, I've never heard anyone kicking back with an upbeat song. That's
yeah, absolutely. Caesar from Madison, listen to me on WAUK, the Allman Brothers, Can't You See?
Oh, good song.
Excellent song.
Great song.
Tom from LA, Games People Play by the Spinners, if you skip the intro.
Oh.
Roger from Stevens Point, Love's Theme by Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Oh, man.
That's a classic.
That's a great one. That Calvin, if you want to pull any one. Of these up, especially the
Love Unlimited Orchestra.
Yeah, that one right there. I'll look into it. I can't make any promises right now, but if I can make it work, maybe we can even make a Matinee on Air kickback playlist. Taking all the suggestions and
that's
saying,
a great idea. That's a great idea. Steve from Milwaukee says Jack Johnson, On and On.
All right.
Christy from Eau Claire, Fleetwood Mac Rumors, Secondhand News. That whole album is fantastic.
Yes, that is. I think that a whole album is just one hit song.
Like pretty much
played the whole record
at one after another. 855-752-4842. What is your kickback song? We are remembering Sly from Sly and the Family Stone, who passed away yesterday at the age of 82. Got us talking just about music and what we listen to and kickback to, as it were. Ollie from the Northwoods has been waiting. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks for your patience.
Hi. Well, I have actually two. How about Kokomo? Or Margaritaville.
Oh, those are perfect.
Yeah.
Those are classics, Ollie. Thank you so much. Those are great.
I would put those on to, like, I hope Pat Kreitlow's not hearing me, because I'm not going to say those are yacht rock songs. But
they
kind
of are, though.
But I would say, definitely songs you put into the boat mix. If you're getting on a boat, Kokomo and Margaritaville are like
it's got to be in the
standards.
Rotation.
Yeah,
it's got to be in the rotation.
That's a good question for Pat. Is Kokomo a yacht rock
song? Does it qualify?
Exactly.
Thank you, Ollie. Really appreciate it. You can join us as well. 855-752-4842. What are your kickback songs? Go ahead.
Tammy from Eau Claire, Be Still My Heart, listening on WCFW. Jesus Built My Hot Rod by Ministry. Calvin, can you just cue that one up and just bring it to like 20 seconds in?
I have never heard that song.
It is definitely, it is more in the realm, I will say, of what you're talking about. It's a song I would listen to pump myself up.
A little more upbeat.
Because it is Ministry, and I know a lot of people aren't familiar with them, but they're, just sitting on the porch, drinking a drink and patting the dog.
Now, this would make me really anxious.
Yeah, totally. Thank you very much, Calvin. But, I mean, I love that
whatever
song.
Whatever works for you,
I love that song. Yeah, whatever gets you to kick back. That's what I say.
Exactly.
Jesse and Dane County listening on WAUK, almost any Sturgill Simpson song. Sturgill Simpson, in my opinion, is one of the great savers of country music nowadays. I don't want to say he sounds like the old days, but there is a definite tradition in his voice and his music that people really hook on to.
All right. Calvin, what about? I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Calvin, what about you?
Well, I'll suggest something from this century.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fine, young person.
Wow.
Take it away.
Well, I will pick Electric Feel by MGMT.
Okay.
It's almost become a meme because it's really popular, but here's what it sounds like.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I could kick back to this.
This, you know what? This song, Jane, Calvin, and me, it fits all the criteria for all. So for Jane, it's a song that gets you bopping.
It's a little upbeat.
I could listen to this song driving home because the beat is slow enough where I'm like, I can relax. And Calvin, it's from this century, as you put it.
I was kidding. I did enjoy and do enjoy most of the songs that were played.
Well, thank you, young man. Would you like some
fun at my young age?
Would you like a hard candy? I've kept them in my pocket all day.
That's hilarious. Todd from Oshkosh listening on WISS, Ventura Highway by America.
Oh, my God. That song is amazing. I love that.
And a classic.
It just always reminds me, too, of like California. It feels like the song was written on a California street.
Kickback songs. Mozart music. Best night driving music. Michael from Appleton. And we're just about out of time. Ronnie from Horicon, any Van Morrison album any day.
Okay, there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, Van Morrison for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy him. It's hard to get past the whole anti-mask, anti-vax thing, but
with
everyone,
Van,
yeah. everyone has their opinion. And
they all got their things.
It's their music's still good.
And L.A. Tom also says, anything from Karen Carpenter and Bread. Oh, Bread. Oh, my 13-year-old angst oozing all over that album.
Listening to Karen Carpenter or Bread while driving may cause drowsiness, so we do not suggest you listen to those
Seriously.
Groups.
Thank you, everybody, for taking part. Kickback Music, Sly Stone, you will be well remembered and yeah. missed. Sly Stone gone at the age of 82. All right, Tisbet coming up next, Bad Boys Edition. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday, so Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and the founder of the multi-award-winning Recombobulationary, going to be here. He had an op-ed out this week causing some kerfuffle.
And we got some kerfuffle about it, too.
We did.
Yeah, there was kerfuffling everywhere.
Yes, so he will join us tomorrow to talk about why he thinks Governor Evers should not run for a third term.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many more things.
Yep.
Also, just a reminder, after 11 o'clock, be listening for your keyword with Tom Hartman. You want to text that in using the Civic Media app. You have an hour to do that. Then you're in the running for either $100 cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Everyone who enters in the running for one of two grand prizes, a summer getaway to Door County or Baraboo with gas to get you there.
Hot cash and gas money.
Hot cash and gas.
Hot cash and gas.
Hot cash and gas.
That's so good.
Our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. Be listening for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock, then at 2 with Todd Alba, 4 with Maggie Dawn. Tomorrow, the last day of the contest, mm-hmm. 4 shots in the 7, 11, 2, and 4 p.m. hours.
Okay. All right.
Right now,
I can't enter.
No, none of us can enter. We cannot play. 10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press. No one claiming this byline.
It's probably Ben Hooper.
Sure, why? headline reads, not so hot pursuit of burglary suspect sees police cars chase tractor excavator at walking pace. Police in South Carolina engaged in a not so hot pursuit as they chased a tractor excavator down a main highway for more than an hour. The chase reached speeds of 3 miles an hour.
Hey, Myrtle, get out here. It's a car chase. Don't worry. You can finish the dishes. You're not going to miss it.
Officers on a different call say they actually saw the big piece of construction equipment go across the highway about 3:30 in the morning. A few minutes later, they got a burglary call from a business. So somebody went and stole this excavator
yeah.
and then drove away. Several cars immediately joined in the very slow speed pursuit. The excavator was going so slowly, the cruisers would have to briefly stop several times so they wouldn't pass it.
I just
don't pass him. Don't pass him. Don't pass.
Yeah.
They had their blue lights and sirens on. They told the excavator driver over loudspeakers he was under arrest and needed to pull over. Other cruisers blocked traffic. The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes.
Why did they even have to use like they could have just walked up to the thing and said,
and
hey,
jumped on board.
Steve, get out.
The chase went on for an hour and 12 minutes before the excavator drove onto the local county fairgrounds property where it got stuck. The driver then tried to run. He was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler finally caught up with him.
Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, we start off with a 3-mile-an-hour chase. Cops are, as Todd Alba say, turn their cherries and berries on.
Yep.
And then it goes high-tech running the fugitive?
Yeah, like, yeah. He's trying. They could have jumped on board the excavator.
I was going to say, just jump on board the excavator, open the door. It's probably going to have a door.
And say you're under arrest.
Just stop. This is embarrassing. No. But they somehow a higher speed foot chase ensues. This is where it gets truly confusing and honestly doesn't make the cops look that good.
No, it doesn't. Driver tried to run, was followed by a drone until a police dog and handler caught up. The 53-year-old was charged with failure to stop for a blue light and 2 counts of malicious injury to property. He is in the Charleston County Jail on a $22,000 bond, according to jail records.
There was no charge of theft?
Not in this.
Grand Theft Excavator? No.
That's the next movie Nicolas Cage is going to do. Grand Theft Excavator.
2/3 are just going to be the chase.
Vin Diesel.
Exactly how it went from start to finish. That hour chase. This is all amazing. I love this story.
It's in the Tisbet Hall of Fame.
Why did nobody take credit for this story, huh?
Calvin, that wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Oh, I like that one. That's one of my new favorites. Thank you, Greg.
Doom, 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 doom.
No, it's like, quick, jump on board. Get him. Okay. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, absolutely nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd Alba, 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6, Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.